It's time for Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
Hi, folks. It's Mike the Ref here at the St. Albert Community Hall here in St. Albert, Alberta, just north of Edmonton. Just finished up the CWE Destined for Greatness Tour, Canadian Wrestling Elite. I'd have to say a very consistent card with what we expect from CWE here.
Yep.
I'm joined here by the wrestling mind, Brian Hamilton.
Oh, always a pleasure. Great show tonight.
We will be joined sometime, hopefully, during the show by the legend T. James Logan here. But first of all, I want to wish best wishes to Andre C. here. Apparently, he had a cosplay-affected injury that he was not able to make it to the show tonight. So best wishes on a speedy recovery there. But we had I'm going to be honest. Right off the bat, I had my skepticism about this card. We had two major headliners drop out of this card. Originally, it was EC3 that got removed. He was replaced by Magnus. And then a little over a week ago, we had the Beer City Bruiser end up having an injury, and he got pulled from the tour.
Yeah.
He got replaced by AJ Sanchez. As far as I was concerned, this card had the potential to be a real downer.
Yeah.
But it really decided to show up and had a very good match involved. Very good matches involved.
It was.
But let's get to the card here. First of all, we're going to go with the newly named Tasty Travis Cole.
Oh my God.
I just want to bring back thoughts from our I listened over the quick calls from yesterday from Red Deer. Something about a fish. I think that's when I think of Tasty Travis Cole, I think that'd probably be what you guys would probably think when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But he was taking on Shane Sabre. Now, Sabre's been out numerous times here on this tour. Brian, I'll let you give your thoughts on the match first.
Overall, I thought this was a decent match between two great wrestlers. Travis Cole always looking great as usual when we see him, and Shane Sabre, very good wrestler. He looked really great tonight. He got the win over Travis Cole, but a decent match overall. Both these guys knew how to wrestle. They were back and forth. I really enjoyed this match between the two of them.
Absolutely. When you're dealing with a crowd like CWE here, you have a rough time at times trying to get everybody into it because a lot of people don't know about the product overall. But once they did get into it, it went really quick here, especially with a character like Travis Cole, who isn't afraid to explore his limits and show a different side to his personality compared to most people.
Yep.
The only complaint I have about this match, and I think Brian knows exactly where I'm going about this, this is the second night in a row where we ended up watching a bare ass in the ring.
Yeah.
Yesterday it was Jake Taylor.
Again.
Tonight it was Travis Cole. I'm very thankful. This is the second time that this has happened in a row for shows. And I'm just very thankful that his thong was a lot bigger than it was last time. So, but in the end, Shane Sabre does get the victory. These guys are pulling out moves that, my God,
it was great.
Absolutely. But speaking of that, going to our second match of the night, my God.
Wow.
Folks, you've seen him on ROH Wrestling in the Top Prospects Tournament, Jason the Gift Kincaid. He took on Jeremy Joseph, a guy that's... Brian, have we seen him here before?
Not in CWE, but we have seen him in RCW a few times.
Yeah. I haven't seen him at this level of development the way that he has. Some of the moves these guys pulled off in this match, oh my goodness. Brian, I'll let you go first.
this match was great, these two. My God, Jeremy Joseph, he's much improved since the last time I've seen him. He's got a lot better. And Jason the Gift Kincaid, oh my God. This guy's one of the best. There's a reason why he's Ring of Honor's top prospect last year. And this year, and why he won this year's CWE Super 8 tournament earlier this year. I mean, this guy has moves that are unbelievable. That's why he's called the wizardy of wrestling. He can do so many...
The technical wizard.
Technical wizard. I mean, he was so many great moves that it was unbelievable to watch. He would have been a great candidate for the Cruiserweight Classic that just happened.
Absolutely. For me, it was the inventiveness of a lot of the moves that both men had. It wasn't just one. The fact that I personally believe that Jeremy Joseph is a guy that you are going to see in a lot higher spotlight in the near future. I'm thinking the same route that Kincaid went through, whether it be ROH. You've seen Leo Rush come through here.
Yep.
There is a big pipeline here from CWE into the ROH system, and I hope that that keeps going.
Oh, yeah.
One move that in particular, the move to finish the match.
Oh, my God.
Everybody was shocked to seeing it. If you guys haven't seen it before, essentially it is Natural Selection, the standing finish, the running finisher by Charlotte, except it's done from a standing position, which he ended up pulling off both the running and the standing one throughout the match. And I don't know how Joseph's nose is still on his face. Jeez. So it was lethal, to say the least. But going on, we dealt with two of the lighter guys in the division for CWE. We're going into the super heavyweights now in our next match.
Oh my God!
Where we had the crazy country rebel Jacob Creed taking on the Canadian Crusher AJ Sanchez.
Oh my
God! We have seen AJ Sanchez. He was in Edmonton as recently as. It was last March with the CWE or the RCW 13th anniversary show.
Yeah.
Put on a hell of an effort there with, I believe it was Big Jesse Youngblood in that match. Guys, if you've listened to any of our other shows, you know how much I put over Big Jess in terms of his ability. But Jacob Creed, for a lot of people don't know this, he is a relatively new wrestler to the business overall. These two guys put on an absolutely awesome match for two big men. Yes, I know I'm using your term there, Brian, but it still applies. Brian, Brian, your thoughts on the match?
Oh, this match was great. AJ Styles, Sanchez looks... Sorry.
Yes, these guys do move like AJ Styles at times. Don't worry.
Yes, it looked great. AJ Sanchez was amazing, and Jacob Creed, unbelievable. For these big guys go at it. Overall, I thought this was a great match back and forth until the ending when Sanchez had to use a low blow when he kind of had the ref distracted and gave a mule kick right to the Creeds of Jacob, man, and he got the pinfall. But if it wasn't for that, I thought maybe Creed was going to win because he definitely had the momentum before that happened. And back and forth, this match could have went either way, and AJ got the win in the end, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, the ending of the match... I love people in the streets. Referee Ian Smalls got distracted by AJ Sanchez to the point where he did not notice a low blow by Sanchez into the midsection of Creed. A little lower than the midsection.
Oh, yeah.
But after that, the move that finished it off, even the referee was in shock. He couldn't believe it. He actually wanted to check if the guy was breathing after it. The Pearl River Plunge, famous by Ahmed Johnson back in the late 90s. Folks, it is a butterfly underhook, basically a pedigree position, but flip it over into a powerbomb if you haven't seen it before. My God, was it a move.
Amazing.
Amazing to say the least. And to see big men go around the way that they did in this match.
Oh, my God.
You had Sanchez go off the top rope with a somersault or a moonsault.
Yes.
And he didn't connect, but just the mere fact that he managed to get the position perfectly on it.
Oh, no doubt. Just to do that move, my God, for the size of him, holy crap. It's like a Vader doing a moonsault, pretty much.
Yeah, but honestly, I think AJ Sanchez runs a lot smoother than Vader did.
Pretty much, yeah.
But let's move on from that. Following that, we had our tag team match of the night, and it was a West Coast combination taking on two of CWE's favorites. We had Tornado Tony Cazzina and the ECCW Elite Champion El Phantasmo with Scotty Mack in their corner taking on the team of Hotshot Danny Duggan and
Jack Jesus.
The Jack Jesus, Tommy Lee Curtis. Folks, I'm trying to get these monikers right.
It's too many of them.
There is a lot of them.
Oh,
but,
my God.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I just want to make sure it's a right thing. This match, I felt it was a bit of a chainsaw, I think is the best way to put it. It was really tough to start. These guys were, I don't want to say fooling around in the ring, but they were playing up to the crowd quite a bit for the first part of the match. Crowd wasn't getting into it because they wanted to see action, not playing around.
Exactly.
But once this match got going, oh my goodness, did it get going.
Oh my, yes. This was a great match between all four of these guys. I mean, yeah, the Central Canada guys have talked. TLC and Danny going against Scotty Mack and El Phantasmo from Vancouver. Overall, like once the funny stuff was got over with, then they started wrestling. My God, the moves that they were doing back and forth. Holy crap, it was a great match. In the end, though, a little mistake by Scotty Mack when he went to hit TLC with the belt and he nailed his own partner.
Actually, what had happened is El Phantasmo managed to hit a finishing move on Danny Duggan.
Yes.
Danny Duggan was pretty much out, but there was a distraction on the other side of the ring due to Tommy Lee Curtis and Tony Cazzina going at it.
Yep.
Scotty Mack got in the ring with the ECCW Elite Championship, went to go hit Duggan. Duggan ducked, hit El Phantasmo. And Duggan manages to get the cover in the 1-2-3 in the end.
Yeah.
Fantastic victory by Duggan and Curtis.
Oh, yes.
But I really do hope that these kind of interpromotional matches keep going.
Oh, no doubt.
We've seen ECCW in the past come out to Alberta as part of the Invasion Tour with RCW. That included Scotty Mack and the Bollywood Boys, which I am going to try and re-release here in the next couple weeks.
Awesome.
It is the whole show is up live, but I know a lot of people just want to see that six-way tag. But regardless, this match tonight, it was fantastic.
It was great.
It was a great way to lead into intermission.
Yeah, and Tony Cazzina, for the age that he is, my God, he can move for the age that he was, because he was the oldest one of all five guys basically out there. He was the oldest one, and he kept up with them in fantastic form.
You know what? Despite age, like the one thing I enjoy about Tony Cazzina, who, if you guys don't know, he is the original trainer of Davey Richards.
Yes, yes, he is.
He was up here earlier for an RCW tour, but my God, the thing about Tony Cazzina is he doesn't do a lot of stuff in the ring, but the stuff he does is very unique and very different. And that's not to take away from an athleticism point. He is a great athlete, and he did a lot of stuff out there. It's just he's different and very unique. And, like, for example, somebody jumping over, like, jumping over somebody who's on the ground on a drop down, instead of trying to go for a weird spot or something off the ropes, he accidentally trips and falls out of the ring. How often do you see that in a match?
You don't, and that's what I mean. Like, this guy, he does moves you don't see. It runs out, kind of trips over the ropes. I mean, he gets caught up, but yet he's entertaining the fans, and that's what counts. He's having fun. He's getting all the guys cheering and booing him, and the moves that he's doing, I mean, fantastic. I've been following Tony for so long. He's one of my favorites to kind of see what he's doing every now and then, because he's, like I said, he's a grizzly old veteran that is still up there with all these young guys.
Absolutely. But then we went to intermission here, and following intermission, I got to admit, this is a match that a lot of people didn't get into because it was a rookie taking on a guy with a very strange gimmick, I think is the best way to put it. The Math Magician, who a lot of people were commenting was the Meth Magician in the crowd and other associated names with that. Very unique personality out there. Taking on Tony Novak, one of the rookies in RCW. This match here, coming out of intermission, we've talked about it on the network here numerous times when it comes to our quick call shows. We find that this is the hardest match to have on a card.
Oh, exactly.
Trying to get the crowd into it, trying to re-amp them up after having a little break of going nonstop. It's very hard to have a match that's going to go over in this one. Don't get me wrong, these athletes did a lot to push the limits in this match. I am worried about a possible concussion for Tony when they ended up doing, I believe it was a springboard head scissors over the ropes, and Novak ended up hitting his head on the edge of the ring apron. They managed to complete the match, but my God, did that look devastated there.
Oh, my God.
Brian, your thoughts on the match before we finish off here?
Oh, I thought it was a great match between two guys coming from the intermission. Personally, I thought this match should have been before the intermission and maybe have one of the other ones taking its place. But
like the Joseph Kincaid match there. A match like that coming out of intermission here.
Yes, that would have been great. And, you know, have these guys be second or so. But, you know, it was what it was. Tony Novak, very impressive. Second time I've seen him. And the Math Magician, first time I've seen him, but I was actually very impressed with him. Did some great moves. It was nice to see a different wrestler that you don't normally get to see from a different promotion. I mean, I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And I know we were razzing him throughout the match that he managed to take math class very well, but I think he sort of missed a few classes like English and phys ed. But you know what? As much as I kid about it, that German suplex that he used to finish the match, it was a German suplex with a bridge. After the contact on the head of Tony Novak, I'd be very shocked if Novak wasn't severely hurt at that point. But I hope the best for him after that match.
Oh, my God.
But, okay, I know we talked about this being one of our weaker matches of the night, but then from there, now, everybody's been singing the praises of this guy. I only got a chance to see him as part of a six-man tag in RCW this past February. Scotty Mack.
Yes.
Scotty Mack from ECCW. I'm breaking a wall down a little bit here. He is a promoter of that promotion. So when you hear that, you start to question a few things.
Yeah.
Like, is the ability there? Is it just the setting up a promotion to pump himself up? My God, I am going to eat so much crow for even thinking that. He got a chance in the main event here to take on Global Force Wrestling heavyweight champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus. This match here was a classic CWE ROH style match where throughout the match, Scotty Mack decided to take apart the knee of Magnus, which based on the size of a guy like Magnus, like, we were actually shocked about how big he was.
He's a big boy.
Absolutely. Brian, I'll let you talk about the match, then I'll go back at her.
Overall, well, this was a great match. Scotty Mack, always impressive to see him again, and he looked great tonight. And then Nick Aldis, my God, like I said, he doesn't look big on TV, but when you see him in person, holy crap, he's a big boy. And I mean, they were doing moves that were great, and like you said, Scotty worked over the leg, but in the end, Magnus, he ended up picking up the win and retaining his belt. But overall, this was a great match between these two. I really enjoyed it. I'd love to see them go at it again.
Absolutely. Like, I'll be honest. One of my guilty pleasures and one of my favorite matches that I would consider unique did involve Magnus back in TNA. One of my favorite matches that everybody's going to look at me like, what the hell are you talking about? Is the Dixieland match that he had with Jeff Hardy.
Yes.
Folks, if you haven't seen it, try and see if you can find it online. Essentially what it was a cage match where you only could escape the cage following, you had to go to the entrance ramp, and basically it became a ladder match at that point.
Yes.
I think that is an absolute genius idea, and I hope somebody uses it again.
Yes.
But you know what? Let's take it off the past. Let's get to the present here. The ring presence that Magnus had was electrifying. This crowd,
oh my God.
This crowd got into it really quick, despite the audio issues, which I'm going to get to here before we get to the end of the show. We got to experience a Mat Classic with both these guys.
Oh, my God.
In the end, despite the attack on the knee by Scotty Mac, which was done with technical precision.
Oh,
the,
God, yes.
The kicks, the chop blocks, the leg holds, the knee bars, the figure four that was thrown in there. This was a classic match that if you guys get a chance to see it on CWE TV or whether they have it up on YouTube or whatever, get a chance to watch it because it is definitely a ring treat for you guys.
Yes.
But in the end, what Magnus managed to suck up the pain and put Scotty Mac in a Celtic knot.
Yep.
And essentially Texas Cloverleaf, whatever you want to call it, and got the tap out submission by Scotty Mac. This was an absolute fantastic match and a fantastic way to end this card off.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And the last announcement that they had at the show was January 14th was the next time they're going to be in St. Albert. The special guest coming out for their January tour is going to be Ring of Honor superstar ACH.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait to see this guy. He's one of my favorites to watch on Ring of Honor. Every time I see him, I'm just in awe. All and now I get to see him in January. Oh my God, I'm so happy.
All right, before we're gonna end the show on a positive here, so yeah. I want to get to the one negative I'm gonna have, and it's gonna directly relate to the next tour here. I have to go with the venue,
yeah,
on two different accounts. First of all, this is 3 for 3 now that the ring truck has decided to have a flat tire or whatnot, and you know what. CWE is doing everything they can to try to make this work out a lot better. They had another ring on standby. They didn't need to use it. But they also scheduled another show in Prince Albert, which is halfway from Saskatoon to Edmonton. Try to keep down the driving time so there's less of an issue there. But once again, the ring truck shows up late. They do have everything set up by, I believe it was around 6:45 with, actually no, it was closer to 6:30
yeah.
With the VIP access supposed to be at 6:00. I would say Belly of the Beast and things happen, but this is the third tour in a row that this has happened.
Yes.
So we got to find some way to fix this problem. Either CWE rents a ring from one of the local promotions or gets a ring in...
Gets a ring and store it here at Edmonton so they don't have the same kind of problem.
Either Edmonton, Calgary, somewhere close. Because this keeps happening consistently. As much as the in-ring product is good, it doesn't look very classy when you have that issue.
Exactly.
Like I said, everything involved in the show was great, but that's going to be an issue. And also with this venue, there is a very low ceiling.
Oh my God.
To the point where during the tag match, they went for a double suplex with Tony Kazina, who is not a very tall person, and he ended up hitting ceiling lights. Now, you bring in a guy like ACH where he lives and dies off that top rope. He's not going to be able to work in a venue like this.
They better find something better because...
Well, I hope they find a different venue for this scenario. This show here, it worked fine because you had a lot of bigger guys.
Yeah.
And not a lot of guys that go up top. So, like I said, it ended up being a really good show. Actually, there's one more thing I want to bring up, folks. The audio.
Oh, my God. But
for the main event, music was downloaded. It wasn't downloaded in time, and wiring got screwed up, and they didn't have an audio guy, and whichever. And also the ring announcer. Like, I feared for his safety because he seems to be rather exhausted all the time, going up and down the ring all the time. And yes, folks, it was Steven Styles doing the ring announcing. So I hope his arms are real safe, because he should be doing a lot of push-ups right now. But let's get to some positives here. This was a four-star match, or four-star card, in our opinion. Between the main event with Scotty Knack and Nick Aldis, as well as the Jeremy Joseph and Jason Kincaid match, we got to consider those very high up in terms of matches. So
yeah,
this is going to be a four-star card.
Yeah.
So, Brian, you get the privilege of the first star.
I'm going with AJ Sanchez and Jacob Creed. The battle of those big boys, unbelievable for the size of them. They were battling back and forth. And like you said, AJ got the win with the Pearl River Plunge. But to see these big boys go at it, unbelievable. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And I'm going to give my second start of the match I've been gushing over here for a while here. The Jeremy Joseph, yes, Jason Kincaid match. Folks, like we said, match placement would have been nice to come out of intermission to have everybody fired up for the main event. But this match here, my God, it is a sleeper of a match that you are going to be thoroughly impressed with.
Yes.
Brian, your third star?
My third star is the tag team match that we had between CWE and ECCW. I mean, fantastic. Four different wrestlers, two different companies going back and forth. I mean, I thought it was great to see these guys go at it.
I would love to see an interpromotional best of seven.
Oh, my God, yes.
If they could get that set up between these two promotions, ooh, my God. Not only the TV ratings would go through the roof, but
yeah,
and any other kind of viewing that these guys would have.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And the talent that each company has, my God, the rosters are just stacked with multiple talent that is untapped resources for these guys to do a lot of things.
Absolutely. But then I'm going to give the four star to the main event.
Yes.
Scotty Mack, Nick Aldis, my goodness, these two guys, like Scotty Mack, I'm surprised that he's not at a higher level than he is right now.
Me too.
There's got to be, I don't know what it's holding him back, but he's got to get signed somewhere.
Yeah.
I know he loves his promotion, and I think he still can run it, but he deserves to be at another level right now.
Yes.
And Aldis, I think it's the same thing. He was in TNA. Now he's the Global Force champion. Global Force is... Well, look at the talent that they got for Global Force now.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Global Force is on the verge of a big breakout right now. You have the Bollywood Boys as their tag champs, along with Aldis as their heavyweight champ. I'd like to see more stuff out of GWF, because the talent roster there is absolutely through the roof.
Exactly.
But that's going to wrap it up for this show here. Just a reminder that on the network coming up this week, I guess I didn't give the bonus star for the weekend.
Oh.
Nobody mentioned my birthday for the damn weekend. God.
Well, we were going to do it, but we thought, Mike might kill us, so.
Yeah, but the smart man, it is Edmonton SBN week for a reason here, folks. Birthday's Monday, so.
But from the Front Row Mafia, happy birthday, Mike.
Oh, thank you. With that being said, the network's shutting down for the first part of the week here, as people are telling me I'm supposed to enjoy a life something out of wrestling, which I don't honestly believe, but we'll leave it from there. Coming up on the network this week, coming up this Thursday, is going to be the YouTube video Edmonton SBN Presents, as we present the RCW Kryptonite show from the Springbrook Legion in Springbrook, Alberta, just outside of Red Deer, where the main event was a definite match of the year candidate, with Scott Justice taking on Michael Richard Blaze in a 30-minute Ironman match. As well, you had a match that a lot of people didn't expect to be a a great classic that just got thrown together. Tiger Ali against Big Jess Youngblood for the Commonwealth title. And then you had Tony Cage and Dylan Knight. Student versus teacher. You're definitely going to want to check this out. It's on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network YouTube page. Just search Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on YouTube, and you'll find a lot of videos from a lot of promotions here in Alberta. Also on Thursday, we are going to have my next Blown Call show. I'm going to have my thoughts on the weekend in wrestling here, since I didn't get a chance to say much about the RCW show. I'm also going to preview a lot of stuff going on in and around Alberta, as well as some stuff down in the States. Since we do have a lot of fans in California and Minnesota, there are a couple events down there that I want to bring up that are coming up over the Canadian Thanksgiving long weekend.
Nice.
But my main topic of the show is going to be about how old school is still cool, and how SmackDown is booking their shows, as well as a little bit of Raw right now. But our next Quick Calls episode is going to be coming from the Alberta Avenue Arena in Edmonton.
Oh, my God.
The Monster Pro Wrestling Show. Folks, I've been trying to for a week now to get a card about what's going on this show so I could get up some previews. All I've been told is there is going to be absolute chaos there with the Irishman trying to find Nightmare. They still can't figure out what kind of stipulation or what kind of scenario they're going to set up here. But, folks, I'm going to get up the video specifically of what happened involving Irishman's kid. And, folks, I couldn't do it justice to explain it. You're going to have to check it out. But that's going to be our next Quick Calls episode. And I think that's going to... We are also going to have this month in Alberta Wrestling a special CWE edition, as well as a PWA edition. As the reason that we haven't had T. James Logan join us is the fact that he's getting some interviews with the stars of CWE, and we're going to package that together and make a spectacular show for you guys. So please check out the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network for an upcoming podcast on that. But I want to thank the wrestling mind, Brian Hamilton, for joining me here today.
It's always a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to doing it again on Saturday.
And I want to thank T. James Logan in spirit, and Andre C. and condolences for thinking of us on this episode.
Yes.
So this is Mike the Ref saying, if you're going to make a good call, make a quick call. And this has been Quick Calls from the St. Albert Community Center in St. Albert, Alberta, with the CWE Destined for Greatness Tour here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
This has been Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Contact us on Facebook or check out EdmontonSPN.podbean.com.